your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact somebody. Let me say this again. That your faith might not impact the world. Noah, by common standards, might even be considered to be a failure, because the whole world, except for 8 people, drowned in a flood. So his faith didn't impact the whole world, but his faith did impact some.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others.
From Atlanta, Georgia. And he dealt with all kind of issues. And he didn't have a dad in the home, and he had a lot of struggles. His mom was a great lady of faith and did a fantastic job. And so he came to Liberty, and I just began, all the players there, you know, it's interesting. When I first came to Bethany, there were 2 players that I coached at Liberty, and Eric Green and Richard Shelton. And they were playing for the Steelers. And I remember we left Bible study one night, and there was somebody driving up behind us. And they were blowing the horn when we got to our driveway. And it was Richard Shelton, and it was Eric Green. And they said, "Coach, man, you had such a powerful impact on our life. We wanted to bless you." And they came, and this was back when big screens first came out, right? They bought a big screen TV and a DVR for me and my family. And, you know, because they were appreciative of the ministry. But I'm going back to this man by the name of Richard Cox. And I spent time just talking to this brother and ministering to this brother. And then the Lord called me here, the pastor, Bethany. And one day I was sitting in my office and the mail came. And in the mail came this book. And the title of the book is Aim for Impact. And the author of the book, Richard Cox. I had no idea what happened to this brother after I left Liberty. But he tracked me down, sent me this book that he wrote, and he said, "Coach, I just wanted to thank you for the impact that you had on my life." Saints, what I'm trying to say is that your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact some. Who are you impacting today? You know, I realize sometimes it might not necessarily be people in our family, but I believe that there's somebody out there that God wants to connect you with, that you can be a blessing to, that you can touch their lives. The first point in my sermon, and I know some of you, when you get the notes, you go ahead and read the whole thing. So let me just help you out. I'm going to go ahead and read, right? Right, so the outline of my sermon today is, he received a vision, he responded with virtue, he rose up visibly, he rebuked the vile, and he was rewarded with victory. So let's go ahead and look at this. First of all, we see that he received a vision. Notice what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, look at this, as things not seen as yet. He was moved by something that he didn't even see. Well, what were some of the things that he didn't see? Right? Well, you know, there's a big controversy out as to whether, so I'm not going to argue this point too strong, but there's a big controversy out as to whether it had rained before the flood. You know, there are some Genesis scholars that say, well, no, it did rain before, and then there are some that say, well, it didn't. So I don't know, but I just want to say that if it didn't rain before the flood, just think, this brother built a boat and had never seen rain, right? Well, we do know for a fact that he saw the flood. Why in the world would you build a boat if you didn't see a flood? Right? So So people had to think that, man, this guy must be a fool. You know, look at him out here building this, well, I don't know what it is, this monstrosity that he's building. What's wrong with this guy? Why? Because Noah saw something that other people did not see. And I tell you what, over the years, man, as pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, I saw things that I knew people didn't see. And I held on to them. And God brings them to pass. God brings them to pass. Because sometimes people are not ready to receive the vision that that God has given. And so Noah had not, I mean, he was seeing things that other people didn't see. Look what it says. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The destruction of all flesh. They hadn't seen that, but Noah saw it. Noah saw it. According to some scholars, some theologians, that Noah lived miles away from any body of water. So the fact that, again, that he was working on this boat, that people thought he was a fool because there's not even any water anywhere close around. But he saw the things that people have not seen. Being warned, that the word being warned means being divinely instructed. That he was divinely instructed by God of things that people had not seen yet. Well, what was Noah's vision? Noah's vision, he received the vision of God's judgment. He saw it. He saw the fact that God told him that God was going to destroy the whole earth by water. And not only that, he saw a vision of God's grace. Oh my goodness. He saw a vision of God's grace. And what was God's grace? God's grace was the ark. That was God's grace because it was the ark that saved 8 souls to continue on after the flood. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got a vision? When was the last time you saw something that nobody else saw? When was the last time that God put a vision on your heart? Some people might say, well, I'm too old for a vision now. Well, need I remind you of Joshua and Caleb? Never too old for a vision. And some of you young people, man, you guys need to get a vision. You need to, as it says here, that he heard from God and that he believed that God could do what he said he could do. That's why I love pastoring Bethany Baptist Church, because over the years we have seen powerful vision. You know, again, when I first came, God gave me a vision of a radio ministry, a Bible Institute, and a counseling ministry. Before I even got here, before I even stood one Sunday in this pulpit, God gave me a vision for that. And it came to pass. All 3 of those came to pass. God gave this church a vision for a multi-purpose facility and a new sanctuary. And it came to pass. What vision are you seeing in your life? What thing has God placed before you? And so he not only received the vision, but secondly, he responded with virtue. That word virtue can mean righteousness. Notice what it says. He was moved with fear that Noah was careful to follow what God had told him. He acted with respect and reverence towards God. He was moved with fear. What does it mean to be move with fear? It means that he had reverence towards God, and it means he had respect for what God could do. He believed. He was just foolish enough to believe when God told him to build a boat. He was just foolish enough to believe what God said. And sometimes God tells us to do stuff, man. And I'm not talking about some crazy off-the-wall stuff, right? Because, you know, some people come up and they say, well, you know, God showed me this and God showed me that, you know, that. And I say, like, okay, well, you know, all right. I'm talking about to know a vision that's been tried and tested, to know a vision that's tried and true. And then when you have that vision that's tried and true, you respond with virtue. You respond with reverence. That godly fear that allows us to be able to respect God and reverence God, because we're spending time with God. That when you spend time in the presence of God, and again, we talked about that word fear a couple of weeks ago, that word fear doesn't mean to be afraid of, but it means reverential respect. That Noah had a reverential respect for God and for what God could do. And again, because he had that respect, he was just foolish enough to believe that God would do what he said he would do. He responded with virtue. I like this one right here. Oh, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. That he rose up visibly. Notice what it says. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. See, faith doesn't mean that you just sit back and wait for God to do something. But faith means that you get busy doing what you know you should be doing. And if God told the man to build an ark, the ark wasn't just going to appear on the earth all of a sudden. God could have made it happen. But so what did he do? He went out and he started building the ark. He rose up visibly. And see, when you have a vision, and you respond in reverence, then what's the next thing? You do something. There's some evidence of the fact that God is working within you. He rose up visibly. He prepared an ark. Notice, I put a picture up there, because this is amazing, man. I mean, this really is amazing when you think about what Noah built. And, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Kentucky to the Ark Experience. And Has anybody gone? Amen. I recommend that you go to the Ark. It is awesome. It is amazing. Maybe one day we might get a group together and go down there. But until then, you need to get there. I see you, sister. You need to get to see the Ark, because it is an exact replica of what Noah built. And, you know, when you think about the fact that this ark, now stay with me because I'm going somewhere on this, right? 400 feet to 50 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And there was three floors on it. And Noah built it to the exact specifications that God gave him. And when you look at this is not something that you're going to build in 1 year or 2 years, but many people believe that it was about 100 years that it took this man to build this ark. So can you imagine the whole time he's building the ark, people are making fun of him, right? And he just believed what, oh my goodness, Y'all missing this point, man. Y'all missing this point. Y'all missing this point. He believed what God told him. 100 years he was building this ark. He cut down trees. He sawed the wood into boards. He got nails where he nailed it together. He got pitch that he put in the cracks. And he did that all the time. And the Bible tells us that I'm going to get to that in a second. He condemned the world, right? Because of his faith. He did this, and the only thing that he had to hang his hat on to was the word of God. But all that he did, he still had to get the animals on the boat. And you know what? That was even an act of faith. Because unlike many stories that we see today, is that he didn't have to go out and try to track these animals down. You remember that movie, Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. That when Noah finished building the ark, let me read to you Genesis chapter 6 and verse 20. Of fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and creeping things of the earth after its kind, and every sort shall come to you. They're going to come to you. All you got... All you got to do is build it, man. All you got to do is build that sanctuary, Bethany. And be righteous. And be godly. And honor him. And they will come. Yeah, we may have to go out and reach, go out into this community and reach some. Yeah, there's no question about that. That doesn't take away from our evangelistic efforts of reaching the community for Christ. That doesn't take away from that. But you can be evangelistic and still, nobody's coming. If you build it, they will come. He rose up visibly. And if I could, very briefly, and I'm going to finish the message, but I can do this because I'm the pastor, and I'm going to put in a shameless plug for our trip to Lancaster to see the play Noah. Shameless plug. Put up that next slide. Next one. We are going to, I'm in the process of writing a little book on Noah, the Ark, and the Flood. And on there, we're going to study. So you already know the answers to these questions when you go see the play. That was a beautiful thing about Daniel. When we went to see Daniel, that I had already taught on the stuff on the way up there. So a lot of stuff, you know, just, that's what Pastor said, right? So let me just run through this real quick. All right. How was the ark constructed? How did Noah gather all the animals? How did the animals fit on the ark? How did the flood take place? Was it a local or worldwide flood? How is the gospel seen in the ark? Why was Noah chosen to build the ark? What kind of animals were taken onto the ark? Who went on the ark with Noah? And what happened to the people and the animals that didn't get on the ark? So that's my commercial right there. All right. Okay. We got a lot going on here at Bethany. Men's fellowship, women's fellowship, marriage ministry, and a trip to Lancaster. A lot happening here. Well, let me move on. He rebuked the vile. He rebuked the vile. Who is the vile? The people of his day. Notice what it says here. By which he condemned the world. Now, let me share with you real quickly some things that were happening in Noah's day. First of all, they were partying hardy. Luke tells us that in Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. It said, as it was in the days of Noah when men were eating and drinking. They were party hardy, party hardy, party hardy. Oh, man, they were partying up, partying down, uptown, downtown, crosstown. They were partying, man, in Noah's day. But notice also, stay with me now. Stay with me. The Bible says there was violence like there had never been seen before. It said that violence filled the face of the earth. And then in Genesis 6, 1 through 4, there was all type of illicit sexual activities. So let me ask you a question before I move on. The people in Noah's day, they were partying hardy. There was violence and there was illicit sexual activity. Does that remind you? Oh, my goodness. That one hit me in the gut, man. Is that familiar? Is it something that we know? Right? I'm not saying that God is going to come back and, well, he already promised. And see, you'll learn this, on the trip up to Lancaster, is that, you know, God said that he's not going to destroy the world again with water. My Bible scholars, in there. And how do we know that? Because of the what? The rainbow. Oh, there you go. But there is going to come a day of judgment. There's going to come a day of judgment. And so this was what was happening during Noah's day. They were partying hardy. The earth was filled with violence, and there was all type of illicit sexual activity going on. And so he rebuked the vial. Notice this, that if you go to that next slide, by which he condemned the world. Let me look at this. Look at this. Noah's faith and righteous life showed that a human being could live right before God. Let me read that. Y'all didn't hear that. Y'all did not hear that. Y'all did not. In a world of wickedness, in a world where they were partying hardy, there was overwhelming violence, and there was illicit sexual activity, Noah's faith and righteous life showed that a human being could live a right life before God. Therefore, by faith in his life, he sentenced the world to judgment. It would be something if people would be able to claim, well, God, nobody can live up to what you're expecting. Lord, it's all around me. All this filth and this evil is all around me. Nobody can survive in the midst of this. Noah did. And not only did Noah do it, but he saved his family. They all got on the boat with him. He rebuked the vile. And then I'll finish with this. He was rewarded with victory. He was rewarded with victory and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah became an heir. And what did he, what did he become an heir of? What was he an heir of? Well, he inherited a righteousness which made him worthy to escape judgment. Wow. He inherited a righteousness which made him worthy to escape judgment. He received a vision. He responded with virtue. He rose up visibly. He rebuked the vile, and he was rewarded with victory. Saints, what an example that we have before us today in Noah. As we travel to resurrection, the road to the resurrection, what the purpose of what we're trying to do is, the church celebrates Lenten, right? You know, that 40 days, up to, Resurrection Sunday when, we should be giving something up or, doing something. Well, what my purpose is just to challenge us, saying, hey, the resurrection is coming. Let's look at some people's lives and see what we can do in our lives that will not only make a difference for 40 days, but will make a difference for every day. And we have seen, Abel and Enoch and now Noah have shown us the way that we can live our life by faith in a way that will please God. And so my concluding thought today is the faith journey to the resurrection. The faith journey to the resurrection. Noah's faith speaks to us about how we might not be able to influence the world, but through our righteousness, we can impact others. We might not be able to influence the world, but by our faith, we can impact others.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Faith of Moses, a faith that chooses God over the world, from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Noah, the faith that touches the lives of others. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others, from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.